The James Webb Space Telescope has done it again. Astronomers using Webb's instruments this week captured the first real-time observation of an icy body transforming into an active comet. To understand why this is remarkable, you need to know that the process of a Kuiper belt, or transneptunian object activating, developing a coma and tail, happens over timeframes that have been theoretically modeled, but never directly observed in progress.
What Webb captured is essentially the moment of metamorphosis. The object in question appears to be a distant icy body that, as it moves closer to the Sun over its orbital path, is experiencing sublimation, ice converting directly to gas, carrying dust with it, creating the characteristic fuzzy envelope we associate with comets. Webb's infrared sensitivity is what makes this possible. Ground-based telescopes simply can't see this level of detail at this distance.
The scientific value here is substantial. Comets are considered some of the most pristine material in the solar system. They are essentially frozen samples of the conditions that existed when the planets were forming, around 4.6 billion years ago. Understanding the activation process tells us about the chemistry of the early solar system and potentially about how volatiles like water got to the inner planets. There's a direct line from Webb's observation of a distant icy body to questions about the origin of Earth's oceans.
The Webb telescope has been operating beyond its initial mission parameters in terms of fuel efficiency. The launch trajectory was so precise that the propellant budget stretched significantly beyond the original 10-year estimate. We're looking at a scientific instrument that may remain operational well into the 2030s, and it keeps delivering observations that its designers didn't anticipate being possible.
I want to linger on that for a second, because it's easy to report these Webb discoveries as a sequence of cool space facts. What they actually represent is a sustained argument for basic scientific infrastructure investment. Webb cost roughly $10 billion over its development history. The return in scientific knowledge, in international collaboration, in technological spin-offs, compounds in ways that are genuinely hard to put a number on, but clearly exceeds that investment.
And that's a relevant counterpoint to the current environment, where federal science budgets are under pressure and the return on investment calculus for basic research is constantly being challenged by administrations that prefer more immediately monetizable spending. Webb is a rebuttal in telescope form.
The data center story from Thailand we discussed earlier also fits here. It's a science and infrastructure story as much as a tech story. The energy consumption of large-scale AI training runs is now in the range that it shows up as a measurable percentage of national electricity demand in smaller economies. Thailand's 49 data centers, if all operating at capacity, would add a load that the Bangkok grid genuinely cannot currently absorb. That's the physical science catching up with the hype cycle.
There's also an interesting water consumption angle. Data centers use water for cooling at scale. Hyperscale facilities can consume millions of gallons per day. In regions facing water stress, that's a direct competition with agriculture and municipal supply. Louisville and Tucson's interventions this week specifically cited water as a concern, and Tucson in particular is in a part of the country where water allocation decisions carry serious long-term consequences.